What I wanted, want to take you home from this introductory part is, first, the importance of meaning. This is an existential question which may, as, that may lead to a deadly end. It is a suffering. It is a suffering where people often do not know how they, what they can do with it, because it is difficult to grasp. Let me experience also, what are we looking for? Third, that meaning is a subjective issue. It cannot be delegated. It must be done by this person. And the help from outside can only be the help, maieutic. You say maieutic help? You understand? Socrates spoke about the maieutic help of the philosopher. So we, it's like midwife. The help of the midwife to deliver the baby. But we cannot give the baby. And fourth, that meaning is has to be differentiated between the meaning in its totality, the ontological, and the existential meaning. And so we can break down many difficult questions of meaning and say, well, the meaning of being, the ontological meaning, I don't know. Even as a counselor, I don't know. Maybe you have an inkling, an idea, or a belief. This may be helpful. But in itself, we must admit that the meaning has to be found out of the subjective connection with my reality. And we go with you, we help you in that. Now, our next step is, how can we help people to connect personally with their way to me? In our understanding, meaning is not an abstract concept. Somehow, of course, the term meaning itself is abstract. It is the result of many feelings. This brings me to, I must interrupt me in the, and ask you, how do I know that the situation is meaningless? From where do I take that? Because I said, meaning is somehow an abstraction. I do not encounter it directly. It is an assessment. But is meaning just a constructive issue, like Bateson would say, in systemic therapy, in systemic philosophy? Is it just a subjective construction and doesn't have to do anything with reality? Is it so? In psychology, many people think it that way, especially in academic psychology, but also in psychotherapeutic psychology, in the field of systemic therapy, it is just a construction, what we make by ourselves. But then I ask these people, but why should I kill myself because of a construction? There must be a closer connection. And they say, well, you live according to your construction. And I say, yeah, but out of what do I make this construction? There is some construction in it, I mean, can agree. But in itself, is meaning just a virtual concept, a fantasy, a bad mood, a concept which I develop to get some kind of orientation? Or does it have to do with my reality? From where do I know that my life is meaningful or that my life is not meaningful? From where do I know that? This is, and from this more phenomenological approach to the concept, to this idea, to the term, to the content of meaning, shows us that it is a perception. I perceive my life as having no direction, as not leading to something good. I perceive it. And perception is always a connection with the reality. So I do not, frankly say, an existential meaning cannot be invented. It's not an invention. It is something which we must experience, see. Only a seeing reality is strong enough to carry my existence, to carry me, to hold, on which I can hold on, when it has some kind of reality. If it's just a virtual concept, that is nothing I can have hold on. It will break down when, as soon as life becomes a bit more difficult, the being is lost. It must have a substance or a firmness in itself. So, the search of meaning is a search of a way in my reality. The perception of meaning, to perceive something as meaningful or meaningless, means that my reality is felt, assessed like this. It is really my situation in family or in the working place or with my health where I can't see a meaning. It's not just where I am not able to construct a meaning. Maybe we can construct meaning, but these meanings are not, these are fantasies and not reality. Constructed meanings, they are like dreams. We have sometimes constructed meanings, dreams. I will have a family with three children in a nice villa at the border of London, and so. And this is my meaning. And life goes that way, that this person is sitting, this was in the border of Vienna in that case, this lady was in therapy with me when she was 50, not married, no children, really, being exhausted in her work and having no meaning in life. Because this was the constructed meaning. But we must have people to find a meaning which is connected with their reality. So it must be perceived, not switched over or turned over, put over or thrown over the reality. Meaning does not depend from me. It is a subjective concept. It is, now we see, this makes it a bit more difficult. I must see my meaning. But I cannot make meaning. I can only find meaning. This is very central in Viktor Frankl's logotherapy. We do not make meaning, we make, what we can do, what we are making is opening up our eyes, opening up our hearts, being interested in what is there and what is of value, and so this is what we can make, but we cannot make meaning. Meaning, we depend, when we open our eyes, we depend on what we see. When you look at me, you do not make me. You may interpret something like associations, men of this age, like my father or so, and some feelings may mix with your perception, this is what you make of it. But in itself, in the nucleus, I hope you really see me, otherwise I would be a hallucination. But I'm not. Of course, the whole issue of perception and of what we are able to perceive at all is enters here. But for practical reasons in psychology, this is enough to be clear that we can see reality which stands in itself. Although we are mixing it up with our inner world and making parts of it constructive, in a constructive way. But the dream of having a family in a villa at the border of Vienna as a meaning, as a life-guiding meaning over decades, this is not an existential meaning. This is a constructive meaning. And when constructive meanings break down, my enterprise will be successful, my career will be, these are constructive meanings. Meaning is much more humble. It has to be brought down to the earth on the level of what is of value here and now, and what in the long run is of value. And if it is successful or not, if it leads to a career or not, is a side effect, but not the intention, not the main direction. The main direction is the direction towards a felt sense value. Subjectively, for me it is a value. Piano playing for my uncle was not a value. He said, do more in the business. And I said, piano for me. Me, my value. To find meaning means existential meaning to deal with my reality. And this is the first step. Because meaning, in our concept, is not an invention, not a projection, not a construct. It may contain elements of it. But if it is a construct, it's not an existential meaning. If it is a projection, it's not an existential meaning. And reality often makes it break or shatters these and must shatter these idealized, projected, constructed meanings. And people are in a crisis because they follow a dream. And when we wake up of the dream, we sometimes do not know where we are. And this happens to people who search for meaning sometimes. Humble. Meaning is humble. Meaning I subject myself to the reality when I search for meaning. I'm not imposing on the reality what I think is valuable, what I think is important. I may have thought what is important, but then I have to enter a dialogue with my reality and ask, is this feasible here and now? Is this realistic? I have to subject myself to reality. Reality and I, we are partners. I cannot dominate my reality. This is very important for Americans. In America, controlling is the most important. Behavioral therapy is a therapy of controlling, of getting control. But can I control my love? I can control my behavior, but that I love somebody, this is not out of my decision or control. This happens to me. Life has this main central characteristic that life happens by itself. And I am receiving. Life is giving me so much. And I am answering and dealing with it. This is my realistic attitude in life. I cannot, what is very important, I cannot control it. I receive it, I get it, but I can control my behavior, sure. I must control my car, sure, while I am driving. But I cannot control what is going on the roads. My car, I can control it. You see, the idea is to reduce the diameter of my activity into a dimension or to a level or a degree where I as a human being can get to when I'm extending my arms. This is my diameter. Heidegger says the Zuhandene, what is at the reach of my hands and not beyond. Beyond, I have to accept and to receive what is there and to deal with it. And this, there is the meaning. How am I going to deal with my life? So, meaning, dealing with reality. And this is the first step in this. Concept. Dealing with reality. Why? Because meaning must happen in my actual life. I'm speaking about existentialism. Meaning is the bridge between me and my situation. In philosophy, the term situation is, in existential philosophy, is of great use. Do you know what is a situation? This now is our situation. Situation comes from the Latin situs, situs, S-I-T-U-S. Situs means die Lage, or is it the position, or die Lage,
the situation.
The situation, yeah, but yeah, it is like situation. Yeah. This is the way how I am embedded. This is it. And situation is there where I am actually, where I am connected. And now I am connected with this here. This is my bed in which I am laying, actually. This is situation. So we are always in situations. And the situation and I, how the situation is a closer word than the world. Heidegger prefers to use the term world. I am in the world. This is my world, you can also see this. This is my actual world. My world is not the piano right now. My world is to be here in this seminar with me. And afterwards, I will go into another world. I will go to see the city of London or whatever. This my world and I, this is the big question. And meaning is like the clip between the situation and me. The way how I'm connecting, relating with my situation. Meaning, in the term of meaning, we look at ourselves always in connection with what is beyond myself, with where I am embedded. It's not just, meaning is not just what is going on within me. No. Me and my situation. I'm born into this world. This is how it started. And this is how it continues. until it ends. I had to bring myself into this world anew, every day, every hour, to be born here and now. I find this a very valuable image or picture of existence. Existence means to be born here and now. The first birth was practically for me, not so much for my mother. The second or continuous birth depend on myself. This is what I have to do now. In memory of my mother, in gratefulness for my mother, I have to deliver myself, to bring myself into each situation. I'm here, but am I really here? I'm here, how can I connect? Maybe you have a question, this is a way of connecting. Maybe you have a thought, maybe you have an association, a memory. To put that together, to bring that in, to make a note, to take a minute and to continue your thoughts and not to listen what I'm saying. This is the way how you bring you in by dealing with the reality. Meaning has this aim to help us to deal with our reality, with our being there. I'm born, I'm in this world. All existential philosophy speaks about the same, but practically how does it look like? To deal with that what is there. I may have wishes, yeah, but is it the right time now? Is it impossible to follow them? And what is in action? What is going on? What is the demand of the situation? What is the most important, etc.? To be here, meaning is this, you say clip, I think, yeah, this bringing together, this connecting me, this bridging between me and my world. This is the idea of me. So I cannot know by myself what is the meaning. And meaning cannot be told from the situation or from others only. That somebody comes and say, can you help me? And now I'm in another situation. Can you help me? It is not meaning if I just do it. Meaning cannot be ordered. No, meaning is the dialogue of both of us. The situation, the world, and I. Can you help me? Then I have to take a stand and assess it with my life and what is important for me. And out of this I say, oh, sorry, I don't have time, but this person will go there. Or I say, yeah, I love to help you. When it goes through the needle hole of my existence, of my life. You see, this bringing together, this intertwining of reality and me. This is what it is all about with meaning. It's a great job. To be born is one thing, but to deliver oneself continuously is now our task. To bring myself into this world. And to continue to develop, to enlarge my birthday every day. Every day is a birthday for me, in an existential perspective. Good concept, isn't it? Every day is my birthday.
is there to be delivered. This is a mistake of many people, that they don't find meaning because they do not want to deal with their reality. When people cannot accept their reality, when they say, well, this is not what I wanted, I'm not ready to live that life, I wanted more this, I want to be more beautiful or richer or to be healthier or not to have lost my mom in the age of 4. This is not the life I'm going to accept. I don't want that. Then people start to live against reality. Who is stronger? Reality or me? It's evident. When I cannot accept and deal my reality, how can I come to an existential meaning? Because existential meaning is no dream. Existential meaning must be taken out from my reality. It must be perceived in my reality. Existential meaning has the it means to connect myself with my reality, to live my concrete life with all its handicaps and all its capacities, with all its limitations and with all its greatness, my concrete reality. This is the meaning of meaning, to connect myself with reality. But when people reject it, cannot connect, it may be too hurt. This is no judgment. It can be so hurtful that we cannot connect after a trauma. And it needs help from outside sometimes. But without that connection, it will not become a meaning. Or just a surrogate of meaning. A replacement, a fake. Fake meanings are around a lot, of course. But in my reality, there is maybe too little space for meaning, I may think. This is a too small reality. This is too simple. This is not worthy or faithful or worthy for me, or does not correspond to me. And so I don't want it. The one issue which makes it difficult to find meaning is that meaning is too, the reality is too painful or is rejected, is not accepted, and so on. And the second is that the reality which we have is not accepted because it's too small, too little.
When you say too small, too little.
In that sense, only the rose is the flower for me, not the daisy. But if we look closely to a daisy, what a beauty is there. If we are not open enough for the little thing, if we are not mindful enough, we will not come to the real meaning. The meaning concept, the meaning idea, is a constant training of humbleness, openness, against prejudices. Take it and see the value in it. Viktor Frankl told us a lot about this in his book Man's Search for Meaning, where he describes the experience in the concentration camp. And against the end of the book, he raises the question, how could we support all this? And he said, it were the little things which made that we remain human beings. Because they tortured us, and what they tried to do with us was to dehumiliate us, to dehumanize us, to take away any dignity. But we resisted. We couldn't speak up, but what we could do was to look to the companion in the morning and say, maybe just with the eyes, good morning. This is something what we could do. We were still free in that. We had almost no freedom. But these were things they could not impede us to do. So we did it. And we looked at the sky, seeing the sun coming up, and the beauty, the red colors, and how the light comes in the rise. And we were touched by this beauty. And we saw a little flower in an angle between the walls. And these were signals of hope. There is still beauty, there is still life, there is still something. Although the big was so terrible, but in the small, in this reducing, in this reduction, to the minimum, and not letting me take away the minimum. This is very helpful. I tell you this element of Frankl's life because it was very helpful for my practical work to have this in mind and to know that people who lost so much, who suffer from the meaninglessness, there is a little bit of freedom left. There is a little bit of human reality in all life circumstances. You may have cancer at the end stage. There is still this possibility that we can see a little bit what I can do and do to the better. Do what has a value, a little value. Maybe a value which nobody from the outside can see, but it can be an inner one, a little, a daisy, not a rose. This breaking down the expectations, the claims to the humble reality and to look at what is possible in this little part, little access which I have, and to deal with that is so helpful. Because really, a major reason why people lose meaning in their life is their lack of dealing with their reality. They make constructions and dreams, they reject the reality, or they do not see there are little possibilities which are given. And even the longest journey starts with the first step. To do the journey around the world, also this starts with the first step. And first steps are this. Bringing that what is there into the needle hole of my being, myself. But then I do it. So, practically speaking, we help people to look first at their reality. And let them describe their reality. What are you living in? So that as a counselor or therapist, we get an idea about this being in the world of this client or this patient, or to know with what he or she is occupied and what are the problems, and let them speak about the problems, and they may, and this is helpful for people to, because they can self-distance themselves a little bit and put the situation in front of them and looking at it. When I speak about something, I'm speaking, I'm putting myself above it and describe it. And so I'm distancing myself a little bit, and out of this little inner distance, I'm able to observe it, to look at it from a little bit away, afar. This helps. Before they spoke about it, they stuck on it. Now they describe it, the narrative helps them to look better at their situation. And I can look with them and go with them. Let them describe their situation, which is obviously, we normally start with this. We don't just start with a training or an exercise or something. We ask them, what's going on? Why is your life so difficult and so meaningless? Meaningless. And so they describe, and I'm going to my work every morning and it is just for nothing, and the boss is pressing me down, and the colleagues are not nice to me, and what I'm doing, everybody could do it, and so let them describe. And then, look, you become, you can come closer and ask, yeah, but in this situation, in your working place, is there anything what really depends on you, what you can do? No, I have only to obey, and all is ordered. I have nothing what is really my own responsibility. And then I said, well, so you are like a robot then, like a machine. Yeah, it feels like this. And I say, and you never have to think about something, how to do it, or you never have the possibility to make a decision if you take this or that, if you take the pencil or the computer or so. Oh yeah, some little things depend, of course, on you. And then, yeah, the little things. And then you can look at the little things and see if they value them, if they see that there is a little bit of freedom left, and start with the little things. This is just one way how we can deal with this first step. What is possible for you? For you. Not what is generally possible. Not how it should be. What should be, maybe we can gain it, but maybe it's even not possible that, because this boss is so stubborn and so fixed in his ideas that it's not possible with him. But then it's always possible to leave, to quit. No, it's not possible because then I don't have a job. Yeah. What would you say if somebody answers, then I don't have a job, so it's not possible to quit about the job? What would you say? This is also a fixed idea. It is possible. The consequence is that I don't have the money. But it is possible. But I simply don't want to have no money. So this means I'm deciding not to quit. This is a decision. And so we are taking it out from the feeling that I'm forced to continue and bring it into the realm of existence. I decide for it because I have a good reason. I cannot afford to be unemployed, actually. because I just bought an apartment and I have a family or whatever. So I cannot afford. But then this is a decision. Do you think this is meaningful? Of course this has a meaning, but I don't like it. You're sure, but we have, this is not all, this is a starting point. We have a connection with my reality, and me and I decide for it. This is like this is often a surprising change for the people when they are confronted with what is not possible and become aware that, yeah, this is not possible because I don't want it. This is my freedom, my decision. It's not pleasant, of course, but it's still my decision. And I'm preventing a disaster, or I'm preventing a greater loss of value. And so I'm constructive in my life. I do something, and this has meaning. I didn't think about it, I didn't see it that way. So what we do is, we are like oculists that they see better what they do. To deal with reality. Because meaning must be situated in my actual reality. Otherwise, it's not firm enough to carry my existence. It needs this pillar plunged into that ground of what is there. Because meaning is connecting with my world, with my given, to deal with what is given. I'm wondering if this is already too much for you to hear so much information. To digest what you described so far. What is important for me now? What did I have? Did it open me the eyes for something? Can I see something which is substantial for finding meaning? What is it for me now? Just for digestion. Maybe you have some questions on this stage, on this first step. What did I realize?
Become aware.
Yeah.
I was thinking about your example with the person that wants to quit this job. And the possible meaning could be extracted from his motives to keep his family and his apartment. So we could say that use motivation, his motive to find his meaning.
It included or it led to the theme of motivation, yeah. But what is important in that example, there was a motivation which was not stupid. But out of his motivation, he got the feeling that he cannot quit the job. And this is the wrong assessment, understanding, a false meaning of what he sees. And so we change his concept, his assessment of what he is doing, or he changed. It became obvious by just asking why is it not possible? And he knows the answer. Because it has more value to be in that job and to suffer than to quit for the moment. And he feels forced. And when I feel forced, this is unbearable. We do not like it. We cannot stand to be forced. Because we are free human beings. When we don't have the feeling of freedom, at least the feeling of freedom, then we can't say that anything is meaningful. To be forced to something kills the meaning. Because meaning must be subjective. And I as a subject must feel free. Otherwise, I am not me. I am an alien. I am a robot. I am a machine. And I do not feel free. And so we create a basis for finding meaning. This is a first step. It may be sufficient for some people, but it may by no means be sufficient. But it creates the basis that, well, that's true. This is a decision. Because I do not want, when I do not want, I force myself, but it's me who force myself to continue.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if there's a shift from a kind of sense of blame and being forced by whatever to a kind of personal agency. Oh, it was my decision.
Right.
It was mine. I don't like it, but it was mine. I have to own it.
So it takes me out of the state of a victim.
Yeah.
And brings me to the center of existence where I am the actor, that is the one who decides.
I may not like it, but I did make that decision.
Right. This has to be made, this distinction. I don't like it. And of course, if I decide for something what I don't like, I must be a bit crazy. This is in the background. We have to deal with this a bit later. But this is something which brings people psychologically speaking to not evaluate what they do. Because this is not normal. To decide for something, this cannot be free. But when I go to the dentist, I don't like it also. I decide for it. A bit of I'm forced to do it, maybe present, but I know I can decide.
One thing that jumped out to me is that you call these steps a psychotherapy, right?
Or counseling, right?
But I'm also a certified coach, and in the coaching world, we are strictly told not to do therapy or counseling. And yet, what we do is what is the situation, and what is the limiting belief, and what is possible for you. So, how do you see the fine line between counseling and coaching?
This is
exactly what we are supposed to do as a coach.
Do you want me to be honest?
Yes. Please.
Coaching is a form of counseling.
Uh-huh.
Stop.
Okay. So they are just kind of
using it. Coaching is a term which was originally used for the counseling of professional work and for the counseling of specific activities like boxing. The boxer has a coach. Sportsmen have a coach. Mm-hmm. Politicians have coaches and businessmen have coaches who look with that. But nowadays the term coaching becomes more widespread and it becomes open even for life coaching, which is in its origin counseling.
Right.
But the term counseling becomes a bit old fashioned and counseling and coaching becomes a bit more modern.
So you think it's just ICF's ways of promoting something?
Maybe it's easier for some people to accept coaching rather than counseling, because you know who would go to counseling?
And who goes to therapy? And this is not bad, because coaching conveys more the idea that I'm doing it by myself, mm-hmm. and I get some idea. By counseling, it is already a bit more support, and in therapy, I'm the weakest. But in coaching, I'm the boxer, and he tells me, there. Okay. So to deal with reality is not easy. We have our concepts, our expectations, and many meaning blockades come from this expectation, from this not being eager to be with this reality. Soon we will have the break, the noon break. The next step is when we look at what my reality in the job or with my family, and look at the possibilities. This is important to find out the possibilities. What is possible? What else is possible? For instance, the guy in the job, what other possibilities does he have? The one possibility is a very personal, private, intimate possibility that he decides for, because, etc. And he can have some little areas where he can change or do something this way or that way. He makes decisions, there are little decisions, but it's not fulfilling. Then, but maybe he can say, well, it's true, I can do that. And say, well, this is actually my job, and I can do it now the best way I can do it. Maybe this gives me some fulfillment, some joy, because when I'm engaging, I experience the reality different than when I'm working out of a distance to it. When I'm connecting with, I'm dealing really with it and try to find an interest in what I do, in the way, maybe not so much what I do, because this may be boring, but the way how I do it, and what is going on within myself, and how I'm dealing with myself, why I do a routine job. I have a great possibility of my inner life, for which I'm much more free. I have time for myself to look at the weekend or the next evening, what I'm going to do, to be with me. And maybe I can develop it. This is also a possibility, inner possibility, but there are many more possibilities. This is another element which we have to consider in this work. We almost ever find that people don't see their possibilities. There are many more possibilities than we think, because we normally think at the possibilities which lie on the direct line of what we are doing. Now we have the possibility to continue or to go for the break. Or we have the possibility to discuss. Are there more possibilities which we have now?
I have another possibility. You do not have the possibility, or perhaps in this way, I have the possibility to not pay attention.
I also have the possibility.
Yeah. It's been annoying to be here
today. What did you speak about?
You do have the possibility. It's a little bit less.
As a possibility, I have.
It's a little bit more inconvenient for you.
That's your problem. No, we have, of course, we have, like, not paying attention. You can draw pictures, or you can take your earphones, listen to music. We can start singing, we can dance, we can step over the desk, we can do gymnastics, we can damage the projector. You know, hundreds of possibilities. This is, of course, in a more humoristic way, but in reality there are a hundred of more possibilities than we normally think of, because we think of, this is a seminar and now it's coming to noon break and we have the possibility to talk, or to talk a little bit longer and or to answer some questions also. This is the way, because we are on the way. But if we look around, we see these 100 possibilities which are not very rational maybe, but they are possibilities. And there are also some rational possibilities. This guy has the possibility, for instance, to go to the boss, to the HR person, to speak with the colleague, to write a diary, to speak with friends, to go for a sick leave, to have a bit of distance, to, you know.
He also has the possibility to accept the fact that
to accept that this is now, for now, this is my reality. So look at the possibilities, and if you don't have a variety of possibilities, don't go to the next step. And it takes some time. We cannot be quick with our clients. In an existential procedure, any existential procedure, we depend on the speed of our clients, how quick they are to see their possibilities. And sometimes they show a resistance. They say, we make even a proposition, for instance, to say, you can speak, you could speak with your boss and say that this is not working well, or you have more capacities, or whatever is your issue. And he may say, no, that's not possible. If this possible, I'm afraid this is not possible. So for him, it's not possible. But in itself, it is a possibility. And this is already a decision which he makes. Let's say, no, with this this is too dangerous for me. This I don't do. In principle, it is a possibility, but not for him now. This may change. So look at the possibilities, look at the reality, and then we come back in an hour and continue practical work in very good. Yeah? So thank you.
Thank you.
In an hour.
Thank you.